Can you present yourself?
Hi, my name's May, and I live in Vancouver, and I get involved in as many things as I have the energy to do at this day. But we're living in a time that there's much information for people to accumulate surrounding all the issues that our world faces today. And I'm here to speak, I guess, on the Olympics and what that means for this city. I've watched how things have been going within this city in response to their imposing the Olympics upon the people of this city. As I understand, it was never actually voted on by the people of the city of whether or not they wanted it to come to this city or not, whether we were prepared to have it here or not. But I believe as long as we have people who do not even have homes to live in, and problems on the streets, and pollution in the air, and environmental problems, that bringing more traffic and more more people into the city to create more waste and pollution and disturbances is not in our best interest in this at this time. I don't feel this is a for that matter, I don't really think the Olympic Games is all that essential at this time for anybody in the world, because we, as a world, we are all facing poverty, we're facing starvation in many areas of the world, we're facing conflicts, we're facing environmental catastrophe, pollution, all these things that need to be attended to. If you want to look at what the Olympics really is and what they make it out to be, as well as a lot of other things, it's another party event, and it's another chance for people to make money and put profits in their pockets. But it's only a temporary thing at that anyway. It's only going to last for a very short time, and what's going to be the overall effect of it? The money that is being spent to put this on could be better spent to provide a proper housing for everyone, to improve our city's streets, to improve our environment, to help in many areas. And I don't, I really have trouble, seeing how we cannot, we have to accept a continual process of every so many years having an Olympics, every so many years having Olympics on a regular schedule, and we don't even really know for sure what tomorrow will bring. We do know for sure that tomorrow, as well as today, that people are going into poverty or have poor health. They are not having places to live. We have environmental problems. We have all these things to deal with. To be focused on, for the whole world to focus on such a temporary and short event at the expense of a lot of other services that are needed for the people at this time, I don't feel is necessary. I do not support the Olympics myself. I don't think it is necessary at this present time. I think there is a place for it, and maybe it can be done in a better way. But as I've been here in Vancouver, ever since they got the bid for the Olympics, I've seen more buildings go up in such a short time that I just can't believe it's the same city. When I came here in 2001, it was a beautiful city, and now it is full of high rises that are darkening the streets of our city. And I believe our governments didn't really need to take a good look of what they're doing to the landscape of our city, to the population of our city, and to the services of our city, and as well. And I think that until we solve the most basic issues and most basic human needs of most of the citizens, of as many citizens of this city as possible, that the Olympics should be held off, or else maybe we could set about an Olympics for the world to see which country can best clean up their environment and house their people. The first, maybe that's the kind of Olympics we need in the world today.
Yeah. What is the solution, do you think? Can we wait about the government to do good things for us? Or?
Well, you know, we are the government. You know, it is up to us. It is up to us to speak up when we need to speak up. It is up to us to speak up when we see something wrong being done. We need to speak up about that because next time it could be happening to us. And, you know, whatever affects one people affects all people. For every for every action, there's a reaction. And we have to think in terms of, well, you know, is what we're doing, is whatever we're out to do harming somebody else or some other creature or some part of the environment? We have to look at our own personal actions. What are the actions that we do on our daily basis, and how do they affect the world around us, each one of us? So I think, you know, we need to become more aware of what we are doing on an individual basis and how that is affecting everyone else. So,
how do you see the resistance against the destruction of lands, the destruction of the environment, and the destruction of housing for homeless or for
people? Well, personally, I see that there could be right now in the world today, until we have solved the problems with our environment and our climate and our people and everything, there could be a complete moratorium on all construction. We have enough housing. We need people to learn to share. There are people who have more than one dwellings to live in. We live in a time when there's so many people in the world that there is no reason why one person should own any more than one piece of property to live on. And we need to learn to share more with our in the old times, relatives, more people lived together in a house. We didn't have one person owning a 3-bedroom house that's with all these rooms empty. We need to change. We need to learn to be more accepting of each other's ideas and be able to negotiate among each other. You know, to try to look at the other person's side and try to understand each other in order for us to better the world, instead of, you know, seeing each other as competitors. We, as they say in the Workless Party, we need to see not as competitors, but as people who work together, you know, and for the betterment of one another. So one party once said many years ago, we are also all a part of nature, and therefore we're subject to the laws of nature, and we cannot believe that we can force nature into any direction that it wouldn't normally take by itself. So we have to live in harmony with nature, not force ourselves against nature continually. So there's a lot of work to be done in the world. I mean, I keep informed about quite a few things, and it's not just climate change. We've also got a lot of contaminated land. We have a lot of contaminated water. We've got a lot of waste, unnecessary waste. We have to look at how we use things, you know, how we reuse things, and what is really necessary and what's not necessary for the general good of most people. And there's a lot of people in the world today who are being neglected still, even by our healthcare systems. Our healthcare systems need to be improved greatly. They are not working out for the benefit of the people they're supposed to help. They're working out more for the pocketbooks of the people who are in charge. And I think these people need to be re-educated. There's a lot of research that's just being left, that has been around, that's been scientifically validated, that's being ignored on many, many issues. It's all out there. We need to get people in charge who have the knowledge to use these things. So we need to move away from the idea. I personally believe that, I'm not too sure I believe in the idea of political parties. I believe that each individual who runs for a position, we should base it on what they say, what their qualifications are, what we can see they can do, and what they're going to do, or what they have done. That would probably be a better way of running things. I guess some people call it a meritocracy, where people are chosen on their merit, as opposed to because they belong to a party or because their party has an ideology or things like that. Personally, I'm watching the elections that are going to become for the city, and I'm asking myself why so many people who are actually business people who want to be our politicians, when, for instance, the person running for mayor, Mr. Robertson, as I understand, is a co-owner of a business himself, a juice business. I'm asking myself, how does a person spend his time between running a business and seeing to getting a good perspective I just see, the mayoral position should be taken on by a person who spends more of their time with people and their surroundings than with their personal businesses. And, I don't know, maybe it's not to say the person can't do a good job of both, but, it's where you put your time. Mayor should be, it's more or less, I've been to council meetings, it's a busy position, and I can't understand how a person who's going to be spending many, many hours a week in council chambers is going to be able to spend his time between that and running a business and his family and everything else. I personally see we need to be aware of who our candidates are more. We need to be told more about our candidates, and we need this to be publicized more. And I believe also we need to give more attention to candidates who don't even belong to a party. They need to be heard. If anybody's running for anything, they should have an equal voice as anybody else. This is supposed to be a democracy, which means everybody needs to be heard, and all candidates should be heard.
But do you think the parliament can really change things positively for us?
Excuse me?
Do you think the parliament can very affect, not very affect, but positively change our life?
Well, it's up to us to feed them our ideas as well. I mean, like I said before, we are the government as well. I mean, you pay your taxes. Don't you want to know what you're going to get out of that? I mean, don't you know where it's going to go? I mean, personally, a lot of people don't want to pay taxes. Why? Because it's going to a war that they don't even believe in. Like Chief Fontaine said, he says the Conservative Party scrapped the Kelowna Accord. Was only $5 billion to help out the Native nations here in Canada, but he spends $20 billion for the war in Afghanistan, which is, something that we should not have even been involved in the first place, and also which Krishan originally pledged for us to be out of there in 2003, and look at, we're there in greater presence than we were to begin with, so... politicians have to keep their word. They have to keep to their promises. They have to be people of their word, and they need to listen to all the people in their country, not just a select few. So,
do you think it's possible?
In some countries, I believe that's more so than here. I think it is possible. I think there are ways to do things. For instance, you just take, even though, Cuba does have what most people call a dictator or whatever, they do have elections for all their other officials. All their ballots are publicly counted. You can go and watch and see your ballot counted. It is also televised, so you know that your vote is being counted for the person you voted for. Nowadays, we don't know that. Everything's done, a lot of things are done behind closed doors. We're not even aware of what's going on. Does that make it fair? Is there any slight chance that somebody may be manipulating the elections and we don't even know we ourselves? And we just for example, they just did this up at the Carnegie. There was a big complaint last year and this year again, a discrepancy over who was elected for their board of directors. They have just changed it so that every time they have a vote for a new board of directors, they will publicly count in front of the people, count the ballots. just to, with all the people who were there, who voted, who were in that day, just to see that their ballot was counted for the person they voted for. And I believe we could easily do that. We have plenty of media in this country. We have plenty of people who can count, and this could be done very easily, so that every person could see if they wanted to. And of course, it could be recorded and replayed, so that every person could see that their vote was counted and tallied for the person they voted for. And you know, if it could be done in Cuba, it could be done in Canada.
But you see, like advertisement for politicians needs a lot of money, so a lot of parties who have the chance to win the elections are always the same parties, and these are the parties who are very near from the capitalist companies and enterprises and corporations.
Quite frankly, you know, I don't think it's just a matter of money. I just think it's more a matter of people being made aware of who's running through the media. And I think it's really a problem with the media as much as anything, because no matter how much money you spend on a campaign, it isn't going to guarantee you're going to be elected. I mean, you can advertise as much as you want, but that doesn't mean if people agree with you that they're going to vote. Well, if they don't agree with you, they're going to vote for you. So, I mean, but the whole thing is the paper, the newspapers and the media, they neglect to allow enough time for other candidates to make their statements in the media, so that other people know what they have to offer. So, you know, allowing people to become aware of all the candidates and all the platform of the candidates is there supposed to have been one of their jobs of being a newspaper in a democracy. And I see that the newspapers have kind of fallen away from that. Not only that, I see that they come up with polls that they claim so-and-so's ahead of this person and ahead of that person. And as we all know, polls can be manipulated. They don't cover, you can't do a poll and poll every single person. So how accurate are polls? Well, they're only as accurate as the people you chose to poll at that time, and those people could be selected as well from a certain group of people. So, they try to sway people's opinions about others through their use of language in newspapers, where they need to just report, this is what's going on, this is what's going on, instead of, this is, you know, what so-and-so said, this is what so-and-so said. We need to allow all the candidates enough air time or whatever you use, or newspaper time, to state what their platform is, what their qualifications are, what their ideas are, so people have a more informed choice of who to choose from. So I think that would help.
Can you add something? You want to add something?
Not something else yet. Well,
not necessarily about politics or Paralympics, but about what you want to talk about.
Right now, I think, like I say, I think our number one concern is our environment. I mean, it's really a critical time for everyone in this world today, and I don't think there's any reason anybody should be trying to escape that reality. People who try to say that this is not true haven't really taken a look at the whole picture. They can even go out just spend some time outdoors, spend a long time outdoors for that matter, take a good look at what's happening, and look at the plants, look at nature, look what's happened to nature, look at the disappearance of the bees, butterflies, look at the birds, look at everything around us, look at the way the trees are growing, look at the frosts that we've had in the fruit sector over the last year, and how much that has affected things. Look at, just take a good look at our environment. I believe that if we focused on what needs to be done to ensure a clean and healthy environment of our planet, in the same time we will see the people that aren't being taken care of by taking a look at that picture as well. And you know, I don't know what else to say, but you know, doesn't matter who you are, whether you're secure or insecure in your place in the world, your world won't be there if you don't do something now. And I believe that's, you know, really the most important thing, and that's where everybody needs to come together. And if everybody comes together on that, maybe everybody else can come, maybe everybody can come together on and see all the other things that are wrong, you know. But it's kind of hard to say. I mean, you know, I mean, there's people suffering at the same time. It's all out of. I mean, it's far beyond where it should have ever gone. I mean, at this point, I mean, we've got, you know, people in very dire conditions in the world today, in other countries, and in North America as well, and with the oceans and the sky and the animal populations and all these, and the climate rapidly changing, and of course all the chemicals, pollutants, and unnecessary garbage is going into our landfills. We really need to really take a good look at what we're doing to our planet, you know. And my, you know, like I said before, and I want to state this again, I don't know, I think that right now we could really use a moratorium on all building. We can fix up and share what we've got, and because we've already got enough for everybody, I believe. We just need to learn how to share what we have. So.
What do you think about squatting?
About squatting? Well, I think that if nobody's using, I mean, that's like I say, we need to take a look at what we're doing with our personal lives. I mean, why should we have something we're not using? If we've got something we're not using, give it to somebody else, especially somebody else. If we're more fortunate off than they are, why can't we give it to them? We've been blessed with something. Why can't we give something back? Okay? So, I mean, that's another way of looking at it. So, yeah, squatting, we shouldn't even have to squat. You know, we should be saying, look it, if I can't afford to give you this space, maybe I can pass along to somebody who can finance it for a while. Or we can get the people in here and have them fix it up or do whatever they want, but at least get them, you know, out of the cold, you know. I mean, I work in shelters myself. I coordinated a shelter before, and it just comes down to, you know, teaching everybody to learn to respect the rights of one another and giving people a space and picking up after themselves. And I think that goes for everybody, learning to pick up after yourself. That means, you know, what trail are you leaving behind in your life, you know, in your path of life? What is it that you get? What kind of trash are you leaving behind? Are you leaving desolation in your path? Are you taking more than you need? Are you causing harm to other human beings? What is it that you're doing? So I think, you know, really, once again, although, you know, in a way it comes down to an individual thing, but not in the sense of, you know, only me. It's what am I doing and how does it affect everyone else? Because we all depend on one another. There's no such thing as a person who's totally independent, because everybody depends on somebody or some others. We all interconnect in some way for whatever needs we have in our world. And we have to analyze, you know, what kind of things are destructive to the majority of the people. Those things should be eliminated from our society and our world, and you know, look for the things that are more beneficial to us and our environment.
And about life in general.
Yeah, life in general.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, yeah, I just wanted to really add one more thing that had popped into my mind that kind of slipped by me, but and of course it's been at the center of a lot of people's agendas for a long time. And this was brought up even way back in the 60s, was of course population. You know, we need to do a little bit better with our population situation in the world today. We need to look towards newer ideas in developing some sort of a population control system, which other countries have already done. Here in North America, there is absolutely nothing done in any way. We need to make people more aware of, you know, that having, bringing new children in the world, that if we are all of the same family, then we don't need to bring in many more of our own new children when there are children who need homes, for example. There is, and the fact that, you know, having sex isn't just for having children, mm-hmm. you know, and that sort of thing. There's different types of birth control methods that people can use that are better than what we have now. You know, it's just making people aware, you know, of their actions, you know. I mean, how much of a right do you have to impose, you know, what are you imposing upon the population of your country or your city or your society when you bring in so many children that you can't even afford to feed yourself? I mean, you have to take more personal responsibilities and, you know, or else share, find people to share responsibilities. But, you know, population, I think, is really one of them. Actually, if it's not the root of the problem we have today, I don't know what is, but, you know, it is definitely a large part of the problem we have today. And with people doing the same things they did 20 or 30 years ago, we have to shift. We have this many people now, we have to shift our attitudes about what we're doing on a personal basis. And we have to continually look at, on a yearly basis, readjust our thought, and our governments have to take a good look at what we're doing around us to adjust for, you know, the population we have in our areas and things like that. So I think that's very important, and I don't think that can be neglected. I mean, it has been neglected too long. And without, you know, we can't continue to expand further into the mountainous regions and take away from the nature and the wildlife that returns us so much wonderful things to our, you know, our sense of being. So we've encroached quite largely upon the territory of other animals. We have to, as they talk about I call myself a vegan, a vegetarian, and people say, "Oh, you're a vegetarian." I says, well, we all are. So I says, the whole idea behind that is the amount of land. In North America, they say 80% of the agricultural land is used for raising animals, and the brutality that is exhibited against the animals in slaughtering them and all the other things that go around with it. Plus the fact that we don't even require, we're not a carnivore of any kind, and that's affecting our environment and our mentality and the way we feel about things and the way we do things as well. So I think that's a very important issue as well. So really need to. We live in a world where we have plenty of information. It's all out there. People, you know, as I tell some of the people I know, I say there are individuals from the past and the present who devote their entire lives doing research and giving us information to help further, you know, our civilization and all to the good of all people. And, you know, too many people ignore it. You know, they're basically just, you know, saying, you know, I don't care. You know, I don't care what they're giving us. I'd rather sit in front of my movie sit there with my beer and have a good time, when actually they're only doing harm to themselves, at the same time doing harm to the people around them. Because, you know, when you're harming yourself, you're removing your input from the community. So that's, you know, another area I think is important. Thanks. A little loud.